Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Man, apparently I need to eat some more lentils. After our show wrapped up, I was hanging out at the Farm Expo in Plentywood. We're back in studio today, so we won't have to play the "Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?" game all morning long. But man, big thanks to producer Caden, our engineer Andy, and of course John Jackson, the Joker from X. You know, we had him, you know, scheduled to cover the first couple hours of the show yesterday, and I was wondering what that noise was. I left the Montana Talks app on. There we go. Let me pause that. I was listening to the news while I was down the hall refilling my coffee. All right. Anyway, big thanks to John Jackson for filling in. You know, we said, hey, John, can you cover the early morning hours of the show on Thursday? Because, you know, I got to get set up, get my gear all set up and try to get all set up from Plentywood for, you know, really the main hour from Plentywood was the 9 o'clock hour. Cause that's when we're on, you know, with our statewide hour and we're on the local radio station there in Plentywood. And we got up and running for that one. But John, he'd already been through the drill, cause it's happened before where you just get all of a sudden some weird, stupid software update on a computer happens, and then all of a sudden your equipment ain't working, and then the backup, you try to do the backup plan, well, computer software update on the studio computer messes with your backup situation, and so John knows how it goes. Hey, he was only scheduled for 6 to 8, but boy, he stuck around all the way till 9:20, and he always does such a great job anyway, so it was so fun. I was with one ear, I was trying to fix my remote equipment and make sure I could get that up and running, and then with the other ear, I was listening to what John was talking about in the headset, and I was just rolling, laughing, because he had some great comments. So, yeah, all the shenanigans on the Montana Talks app, if you want to go back and listen to the podcast if you missed Thursday morning's antics and shenanigans. But today's a brand new day. So it doesn't matter how many shenanigans we had yesterday, we got a whole new day of shenanigans for you today. Let me see. But, yeah, after we wrapped up the 9 o'clock hour from Plentywood, then I went and cruised around, had a great lunch there. The Knights of Columbus put on. And got to walk around the Farm Expo a little bit myself, but I ran into Blake Rasmussen, the farmer there that I caught up with earlier in the morning, and we'll share that audio with you here today. And then I was chatting with one of his neighbors, a couple of his neighbors, a couple other farmer guys, and man, these guys are both 7 feet tall. I'm like, holy cow! Apparently, I need to eat more lentils or something. Because you lentil farmers, you pulse crop farmers are all 7 feet tall here. And then what was really cool, then after we had lunch, our friend Terry Farver from Farver Farms came over. Remember, they started the lentil crunchers back in the day. And so Terry came over. He said, hey, let's go talk with Mark over there. He runs that Columbia Grain processing facility out there on the edge of town, south of Plentywood. Let's go see if we can get a tour of that. I've only been in there once, and his wife, Shauna, had never seen the inside of it, even though that's where they send all their lentils over the years. Man, what an incredible tour that was that Tori Friedrich gave for us yesterday after the show. So I'll talk about that later in the morning. But let's get to Blake Rasmussen talking about pulse crops, lentils, and more right after this quick break.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With partly to mostly sunny conditions for today and some increasing clouds late. High temperature readings ranging from the mid-40s in Bozeman to the mid-50s in Billings. For tonight, we'll see chances for snow showers moving into Bozeman and the accumulation an inch or less with a few rain showers possible in the Billings area. Low near 30 in Bozeman, mid-30s in Billings. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frobley.
Securing America.
A ceremony at Joint Base Andrews Thursday celebrated next week's scheduled opening of the National Medal of Honor Museum in Arlington, Texas. Former Navy SEAL and NASA astronaut Captain Chris Cassidy is the museum's president. He says there are plenty of military museums,
but this will be a place where you can come and learn about the stories of these gentlemen. 3,528 awards of the Medal of Honor have been given.
One of those is former Navy SEAL Command Master Chief Britt Slabinski, who says it's not about the individual honor.
What the medal really is, it is a reflection of the many.
Master Chief Slobinski adding,
the DNA of so many others is embedded in the medal.
The museum opens to the public Monday, which is National Medal of Honor Day. Captain Cassidy saying,
we're so excited to bring this project to the nation.
Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe. Yeah.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, it was kind of funny. Yesterday, you know, I started setting up my equipment, I think around or before 7 a.m., and it was like, okay, my equipment's working, okay. And then it was like, uh-oh, that's when I found I needed the new software update on this little app that I use to connect to our studio. But then it's like, oh, well, we can just do a Spaces, like a live stream on X. We can just do that. We've done that before. That should be no problem. Yeah, any other day should have been no problem. Or we can just do like a Microsoft Teams call, even though Microsoft is meh. But our computers, apparently they all got some sort of update that must have made everything go all wonky. So anyway, yeah, so there I am. I'm testing the audio connection by doing this Spaces live stream on X. And it was before our 9 o'clock hour. And you know, John Jackson, the Joker, was back here in studio yapping. And so I thought, all right, let's test this audio. Let's do a conversation here. I had Blake Rasmussen. He and Jeannie Rude, really, they, along with Greg at KATQ Radio, just put this whole Farm Expo together, which is still going on today in Plentywood. Jeannie Rude is the agronomist with Pro Co-op Ag Center, and they've got some incredible infrastructure that they've put in up there. But even still, even with the Spaces audio, the audio it's not studio quality like we would normally have here. But I still think you'll appreciate hearing what Blake Rasmussen had to say. Let's see. Let me play this for you. You guys tell me, because you guys have been in the radio business longer than I have been, you know, listening to radio programs. Some of you have done your own radio programs as well. Tell me if you think this audio is good enough for broadcast quality. It sounded good to me when I played. It's not, you know, studio quality, but I just really appreciate hearing what Blake Rasmussen had to say. So here we go. Here's a part of our Spaces live stream from yesterday.
You guys had a farmer from Canada who came down and talked about how precise these combines are in mapping your farmland. So you know, hey, on this little piece of farm ground, I can use less fertilizer or more fertilizer, or I can use, you know, less herbicide and more herbicide, and it maps it out for you. I joke that it's almost like the combine is kind of like becoming almost like the Roomba of the field in that regard. It knows where to go, what to do, where it's at. It's so precise.
We had a great kickoff event yesterday. We didn't want to take away from the show, so we had some farmers. We had a great group. We spent an hour with John talking about soil tests. Came over and we talked about soil tests. And then we had a panel of variable rate specialties. We, you know, guys represent spot maps, farmers' edge, daily with their local co-op. So we got to talk about the different technologies, and there was a lot of feedback. You know, what's working for guys, what's not working, where's this is headed. One of the other things, sitting in the parking lot today, we've got a new sprayer out here with Augmenta. We're doing variable rate on the fly with that. That's one of the planes is working on. So it's kind of fun to see some of this technology. It's great. So that a Canadian connection, some of our farmers from there, we had a Canadian on the panel yesterday talking about what he's doing. And so there's a lot of, you know, at the end of the day, used to be a lot of people from this part of the world farm to Canada, and so just those, the information exchange just happened naturally, and being that hardly any of that happens anymore, this show is a chance to kind of reconnect with a lot of those people that we have connections with going lots of years, whether it was our dads farmed together back in the day or what. So
yeah, a lot of people, they had property on both sides, yeah. They worked both sides. That's what's fun about being on the radio is, even though they don't want the radio airwaves to push too much into either country from the other country, it's so fun. I've ran it actually last year. I think when I was down here, we had one of our listeners up in Saskatchewan, north of Scobie, came down and said hi. And so it's kind of fun, you know, because we have the ability to go into Canada every day through our radio show, and especially when you're up here in Plentywood, just south of the border, and places like Scobie, and all the way along the Highland, and of course in the Flathead, you know, get a ton of Canadians there as well. So yeah, that's part of the fun. You were talking about just how so many things have changed. I mean, when I first started coming to the Farm Expo here in Plentywood, maybe back in the, around 2010, 11, 12 time frame, and that's when the pulse crop really started taking off.
Yeah, I mean, it's not very long ago that we didn't know what lentils were and how to cook a chickpea or what a chickpea did. So 25 years ago, I mean, guys were just dabbling in this. It was not mainstream by any point. And now where we're at today, it is. Our rotation revolves around growing pulses. It's not just the alternative rotation crop. It's how do we raise more pulses, and it's really diversified.
All right, and then yeah, for some reason the audio wasn't picking up all my microphones when I did the Spaces X feed, but that was Judy Rude with some great comments. Unfortunately, you can't really hear it on the recording.
I think if you looked at the statistics of rainfall over the last 5 or 6 years, there's places it looks a lot. The rainfall totals are pretty similar to the 80s, but we've still grown some pretty good crops, right?
You can do more with less.
Absolutely. Lentils don't need, we've grown some of our best lentil crops on 4 or 5 inches of rain when you get the right conditions and you have some sub-moisture and the soil's in better shape. So I'm not saying everything we're doing is right, but I think we're headed in the right direction.
It is amazing that you can do more with less because of technology, not just the technology with the equipment itself, but the technology and the chemistry and the science that goes behind the egg products themselves as well, the fertilizer, the other inputs, right?
All right, yeah, there you go. But yeah, part of what Jeannie Rude was talking about was she's saying, look, we needed our own fertilizer here in our neck of the woods. But, you know, what business, what company was going to invest in the rail line that it was, you know, infrastructure in order to get this to us? So a bunch of local farmers teamed up, and that's how they built a co-op egg center in order to, you know, to produce it, to have it there locally. So it was great catching up with both of them. There's another great story from Blake Rasmussen in an off-air conversation I'll share next.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
I've spent a career explaining to people that the stock market and the economy are two different things, and that the whims of exuberance and panic that wax and wane on Wall Street don't necessarily mean that the economy is doing the same thing, except in early 2025, that is, because this time the contraction in the economy might be just as severe as what major stock indices have been experiencing over the last few weeks. Although we won't get the official word until next month, all the pieces are in place for a sizable negative quarter for GDP, the measure of total economic output. Consumption in particular is nosediving. The University of Michigan's Index of Consumer Sentiment plunged by 11% this month. Spending is flat, and credit card companies are dialing back their projections. None of this is definitive. The job growth in particular is still happening. But the whipsaws of policy changes, and particularly the dizzying announcement of tariffs that factor into prices, have created uncertainty that's causing both consumers and businesses to pause. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. Elon Musk and some congressional Republicans have demanded impeachment of federal judges who have ruled against the Trump administration's moves to dismantle entire government agencies. Musk lambasted judges as, quote, corrupt, radical, evil. He also derided, quote, the tyranny of the judiciary after judges blocked parts of the federal downsizing effort that he's led. But recent attacks by lawmakers and Musk on judges could increase a rise in threats for those jurists, could also jeopardize the judicial independence of the federal courts. In his end-of-the-year report last December, U.S. Chief Justice John Roberts warned about a rising number of threats that included calls for violence against judges and dangerous suggestions by elected officials to disregard court rulings with which they disagree. Musk and Republican lawmakers have described judges as threats to democracy. Several federal judges in Washington have received pizzas sent anonymously to their homes, which is being interpreted by law enforcement as a form of intimidation. intimidation meant to convey that a target's address is known. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Good morning, everybody. It's time for your Daybreak Egg Report. I'm Russell Nemitz, and thanks for being with us here on the Western Egg Network. Well, despite requests from a long list of stakeholders requesting that the ballot measures efforts to repeal wolf reintroduction be suspended, proponents are moving forward in Colorado. With more on this story, here's our network's Rachel Gable.
Once again, a measure that is opposed by the groups and stakeholders closest to the wolf releases could possibly make its way to the November 2026 ballot. The title board set a title that asks voters to vote whether or not to end reintroductions of gray wolves by December 31st of 2026. In a letter to organizers, major and local livestock groups, commissioners in affected counties, sportsmen, conservationists, outfitters, and others asked organizer Patrick Davis to suspend the ballot measure efforts. The group said the effort to end the gray wolf reintroduction was initiated without consulting the primary stakeholder groups and constituencies most affected by the wolf reintroduction. As a result, this approach is at odds with the strategy and policy outcomes that our coalition is working on. The signers went on to ask that you allow those of us directly impacted to work through the pathways already in front of us. They also expressed concerns about the financial resources necessary and the social and political consequences if this measure were to fail. They said any failed effort could potentially impact subsequent policy efforts currently underway, both administratively and legislatively, as well as undermine recent public opinion support that the landowner community has received. For the Fence Post Magazine and Western Ag Network, I'm Rachel Gable.
All right, thanks a lot, Rachel. Never a lack of controversy when it comes to wolves in our region. Stay with us. We'll have more ag news right after this.
Montana winners call for comfort food. Sign up for the Beef Box giveaway from the Montana Beef Council, and you can win $50 worth of beef. Whether you're making beef stew, a hearty roast, or a big pot of chili, beef is the perfect way to warm up after a cold day. Add some flavor to your winter meals and stock up on beef for those cozy nights at home. Don't miss your chance. Head to the Montana Beef Council website and enter today.
Do rising interest rates have you concerned? Hi, I'm Blake Hotman. At Montana Livestock Ag Credit, we provide operating loans, term loans, and long-term fixed real estate loans to farmers and ranchers across Montana. Our rates are consistently lower than the competition, with no loan fees on operating and term loans. Montana Livestock is here to keep more money in your pocket. Give us a call at 1-800-332-3405 to talk to one of our officers or look us up at ag-credit.com.
Well, the USDA's National Ag Statistics Service will reinstate its July cattle and county estimates for crops and livestock reports, both of which ended last year due to budget constraints. In a notice issued on Wednesday, the agency said it would resume publication of the reports, which were canceled last April. Now, the decision to cancel the reports was met with outcry from major ag organizations like the American Farm Bureau, National Cattlemen's Beef Association, and the National Grain and Feed Association, just to mention a few. In fact, NCBA's Executive Director of Government Affairs, Tanner Beamer, says that the return of the July cattle report and county estimates is a huge win for cattle producers who utilize these reports to efficiently run their operations and make important marketing decisions. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Russell Nemitz.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, so here was the other thing we had lined up for the 8 o'clock hour of the show yesterday, but of course John Jackson ended up doing a great job filling the 8 o'clock hour for us, but we were going to have Governor Greg Gianforte on with us. I was going to, you know, have him on through my cell phone, through my remote equipment. And then we were going to have Democrat House Minority Whip Jonathan Carlin. Normally he joins us
Thursdays in the 9 o'clock hour for the legislative update, but because we had the Farm Expo in Plentywood, we tried to sneak him on in the 8 o'clock hour. But we are going to have Governor Greg Gianforte is going to join us later this morning. So it'll be great to catch up with the governor, especially after this news. The Montana State Senate passed legislation to protect women's sports in Montana from intrusion by biological men. And that already passed the House. So now that it's passed the Senate, that bill is headed to the governor's desk. So we're going to chat with the governor about that and much more here later this morning on Montana Talks. So thanks to the governor's team for being flexible with us. One more thing I wanted to share, and I'll talk more later on in the 9 o'clock hour when our friends from Plentywood join us while the Farm Expo is still ongoing. But especially since we just had the Farm and Ranch Report, let me continue with a Farm and Ranch Report of my own. So it was so cool talking with Blake Rasmussen and the other 7-foot-tall lentil farmer that was standing next to him. But anyway, Blake, who you just heard from a few minutes ago, he was telling me how, what was it, 2 or 3 weeks ago, he was just in Dubai over in the United Arab Emirates and for the big, it's like the big world food show. And he said it was so incredible just being in Dubai at the World Food Show. He said, because here I am, I'm just the farmer from Plentywood, Montana. And here I am talking with these buyers and these people who run these ports from all over the world. He says, I farm the lentils, I farm the pulse crops, and he listed out the various crops he farms. And then I ship it over to the facility, and then they clean it, and they bag it up, and they ship it out. And he said, but when I was at the food show in Dubai, he said, I'm talking with the guy in Pakistan that opens up the crate of my products. And so he said, here we are at the food show in Dubai talking to one another. So he said that was pretty crazy and pretty interesting. And then what was really cool, so we literally had that conversation just before I had lunch at the fairgrounds there in Sheridan County in Plentywood. And then that's when Terry Farver linked us up with the Columbia Grain folks, and we got to go over and actually go inside there. I think they call it the Columbia Grain Merck, Plentywood Merck Plant, Plentywood Merck Processing Center, maybe something like that, PMP. Anyway, really cool facility, really incredible facility. We couldn't take any pictures or any video from inside, but I'm hoping maybe they'll have some of their photos that they'll share with us. And it was so cool, though, like to see the way they clean all of the peas and the lentils and the chickpeas and everything, and to see this massive facility. I think well, I'm not going to run the numbers yet. I'll tell you about the numbers a little bit later. They had, so at one point we were standing next to the big processing machine, assembly line, manufacturing line. And this facility, standing inside a facility, we've all driven past a grain bin, right? We've all driven past the facilities where you see the big grain bins outside where they unload the trucks of grain, or they unload the trucks of lentils and things like that. And then the grain goes in the bin. But this whole assembly line and system of conveyor belts, then cleaning the lentils. And then they had these like gravity tables that were at an angle, and they'd like shake, and that's how they sort out the better lentils from the lesser lentils, and then the lentils that are cracked or broken up or aren't the size that they want. Well, those go into another batch, and then that'll end up in pet food. But the best lentils get all like shaken out and sorted out and cleaned out, and then that's what goes into the food supply all over the world, right? And so that was cool, seeing those massive gravity tables. And then they have a machine that can color sort the lentils. I mean, you've got, millions of these freaking little lentils that are coming down this system, and it can color sort. Well, that one's a little too green, or that one's not green enough, or that one's a little more this, that one. All through a machine, through like photo sensors or something. I mean, it was just crazy. And then 18 workers inside that facility in Plentywood. And I said, God, you guys must have a great team of mechanics around here for all this equipment you got. And Tori Friedrich told me, he's like, that's us. Yeah, we not only run the machines, we not only run the facility.
if something breaks, if a part needs replaced, that's us. That's we do it all. And the coolest thing about this guy, I was going to save this for later. Anyway, the 9 o'clock hour goes by so fast anyway, so I may not have time to get to it all. But the coolest thing was, I asked Tori. I said, "Well, Tori, where are you from?" He said, "Oh, I grew up here in Plentywood." He said, "Yeah, I had never seen a lentil in my life." So, you know, he wasn't a farm kid. He said, "I'd never seen a lentil before in my life." He said, "But, you know, I used to walk to town, and I'd walk past this facility, and well, that was kind of cool." He ends up getting a job there. Now he's, a big part of the operation. I thought that was really cool. Let's see. The bags. I think it was like Emerald Foods or Emerald Farms, like Emerald Foods bags that they had that looked like they were maybe going to who knows what country those are being shipped off to. And then there was I even noticed they've had USAID bags going through there as well. So even though Elon Musk and Doge are cutting the stupid funding and the wasteful spending inside the USAID, the bags of lentils and the actual, you know, good stuff that's funded by your federal government is still moving forward. All right, really cool deal. Montana Superintendent of Public Instruction Susie Hedlund was at the White House yesterday as President Trump signed this executive order regarding the Federal Department of Education. This is great stuff. She's going to be with us live right after this.
You're listening to Montana Talks, bringing truth and freedom to Montana. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right, yeah, we should have Montana Superintendent of Public Instruction, Susie Hedlund, here join us any second. Oh, let's see if I got a message here. She just sent a message a little while ago. Talk to you soon, so she should be. Oh, that's probably her calling in right now. But here's the big news. Montana Superintendent of Public Instruction, Susie Hedlund, was invited by President Trump to the White House yesterday, as he signed an executive order returning control of education back to states and local communities. Superintendent Hedlund, representing one of the highest-ranking state education officials in the country, to support the president in this historic shift to reduce federal bureaucracy in education and improve opportunities for students, teachers, and families. This is just great. Yeah, she was at the White House. In fact, I got a chance to chat with her briefly on my drive back to our Montana Talk studios from Plentywood on Thursday. And, yeah, she ran into, I think, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. She was there with U.S. Secretary of Education Linda McMahon. And also she's the superintendent of schools for Montana. The top school officials for Wyoming and Alaska were also there with Montana's superintendent of public instruction at the White House. I sent out a post on X. I sent out a tweet earlier this morning basically saying, hey, President Trump dismantling the train wreck known as the Federal Department of Education will be great for Montana schools. Less money for D.C. bureaucrats and more money for Montana schools and teachers. Great to see Montana's superintendent of public instruction at the White House for this event. She's now with us live. Superintendent Hedlund, great to have you on the show. What do you want to tell our listeners across Montana?
Good morning, Aaron. Thank you so much. I just, first of all, want to congratulate President Trump and Secretary McMahon on this monumental decision. I agree with their direction to get education back to the basics, which were the exact words that they've used, and you've heard me say many times. So it was nice to hear that echoed. We want to ensure resources get directly to our classrooms in Montana to empower educators and improve student outcomes. And, you know, I truly believe that Montana families and educators know what's best for their students, not bureaucrats, in D.C. and at the federal level. So we're looking forward to being able to provide this support and these funding streams from the state level.
I've heard teachers on the left and on the right complain about federal bureaucracy and federal government overreach with regard to education. this shifts more of that power and those decisions back here to us in Montana. And also, look at all of that money that is wasted on that massive bureaucracy in Washington, D.C. That's money that can instead come back here to Montana so we can invest in our schools and our teachers.
Absolutely. By the time that funding makes its way to Montana, it's cents on the dollar. And I have said for many years, and you know, we have got to reduce the reporting requirements, the red tape, and the federal overreach that is burdensome on our school administrators, on our school teachers, and on the state level as well. So this is an exciting change and transfer. I am just really supporting this work and this plan. And it was fun to get the invitation to be part of this important event. I have been trying to loudly share the correct information. Unfortunately, the media just wants to print more fear-mongering and wants to print misinformation. There has been reassurance, and the president said it himself yesterday when I was in the room with him, that there's going to be no funding reduction to the programs that are critical to our Montana schools, like Title I, special education, Carl Perkins, which is our career and technical education that, you know, I'm passionate about. So how I got the invite was actually I was on the phone with White House administration talking to them about our programs that are important in Montana, telling them that I'm happy to support this work and provide input. And then they said, how quick can you get to D.C.? We'd love to have you with us. So it was pretty incredible to be involved in those conversations. I am leading the charge in this. I want to be proactive rather than resist change, complain, and sit back and see what happens. So I was making those calls to be involved and get the information, the right information, right up front, and that's how I got the invitation.
Well, it's so important that you were there because you're right. Like, you know, whether there's a Republican or a Democrat in the White House, sometimes a decision is made, and it may be the right decision, it may be the wrong decision, but that's where, you know, our officials here in Montana can go to bat and say, hey, this program's really important, that program's really important, right? But then on top of that, like, hey, this is the ability, you being in that room, you know, makes you a better advocate for those programs that are important to Montana schools, the programs that do need to continue being funded. And then on top of that, like, yeah, this is going to bring more money back to Montana education and less money for overpaid D.C. bureaucrats that constantly try to push their agenda on the rest of the people. And it's an insane woke agenda that the American people clearly rejected in the last election.
Absolutely. I was just thrilled to get to be a part of it. And like you said, it's just an honor to be invited by the President of the United States and to be recognized for, you know, having a voice in this and wanting to work with them on it rather than stand by and complain and spread misinformation or fear-mongering. So I am just working with them and really excited about this plan to get more money directly to the state of Montana and directly to our classrooms. It's going to be great.
I'm going to do a full breakdown later this morning on just how bad, you know, our numbers are when it comes to education all across the country, despite the over $3 trillion that has been spent on the U.S. Department of Education, despite per pupil spending having increased by more than 245% since the Department of Education was created. There's been virtually no measurable improvement in student achievement. In fact, you know, some of the data is worse than ever before. And then Secretary of Education Linda McMahon pointed out with Brett Baer yesterday that almost 47 cents on every dollar is just spent on regulatory compliance with the feds. That's almost half of every dollar is wasted on regulatory compliance. What was it like being at the White House? Who did you run into behind the scenes? What were some of the conversations you had?
It was really exciting. I got to sit right with my colleagues from Alaska and Wyoming, like you mentioned earlier, and they were just exceptional. It was great talking to them. I got to spend time visiting with Secretary McMahon. I spoke to Kirsten Baszler, our new assistant secretary that was the longtime superintendent in North Dakota, over the phone, and she's going to be in D.C. with me next week. We're going to be meeting with all of the state chiefs from across the nation, so that's exciting. I spoke to Senator Sheehy and over the phone, as they're on a break right now, and I got to speak to the governor. He was not there. He was in Montana, but talked to him about me being there, and so just checking in with everyone and having great conversations. The room was just full of energy. There were families there. There were all kinds of advocates for education that felt like this was a real turning point so that we can actually start seeing those educational outcomes. And like you said, this funding was just being wasted on compliance. I have already started taking that away at the state level as well, and working towards reducing that. Not only are we wasting money on this, but we're wasting time. The amount of hours that school administrators spend on these reports is ridiculous. They need to be spending their time as instructional leaders, meeting with parents, meeting with community members, and modeling and supporting their teachers in the classrooms.
Yeah, it's so analogous to, you know, some of the bureaucracy in the Department of Defense that's bogged down so many of our troops over the years as well. And, you know, you spend so much time doing mandatory online classes or, you know, check the box training that you're not doing the actual training that you got in the fight to do in the first place. And so it's just this whole of government approach to making America great again. Susie Hedlund, Montana Superintendent of Public Instruction, thanks for calling in. Safe travels back home to Montana. Thanks for what you do.
Thank you for your time. I appreciate it. Take care.
All right. Oh, my microphone was off. What the heck there? Oh, thanks, Caden. See, even in studio, I still press the wrong button from time to time. All right, legislative update next.
Your morning espresso starts right here. It's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Democrats screaming bloody murder. Save our kids. Save our kids from what? We're saving our kids by saving this system from institutional failure. That's why I'm asking people, think out of the box. Approach something differently. When you're failing at this level, you have got to make adjustments. You have got to do a course correction. This has been needed now almost since the beginning. Department of Education founded in 1979. Reagan has, during his term, a landmark study, A Nation at Risk. What has happened to the educational system in America, were it done by an outside entity or force, would be tantamount to an act of war. Wow. That's how bad this is.
The Sean Hannity Show, from coast to coast, later today.
Only two things in life are certain: death and taxes. Well, now there's a third certainty. If you're with Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile, you could be saving a fortune every single month if you switch to my cell phone provider, a veteran-owned company called Pure Talk. Now, that's right, Pure Talk, my sponsor, is cutting the fat from the wireless industry. For just $25 a month, you can get unlimited talk and text, 5 gigs of data on America's most dependable 5G network, and the average family of four saving over $1,000 a year when they switch to Pure Talk. That's real money in your pocket for the exact same service. And with Pure Talk, you have U.S. customer service representatives. They'll make the switch simple, fast, and free and easy. To do it, dial #250, say the keyword save now to make the switch. Do it now. You save an additional 50% off your first month. #250, keyword save now, and start saving today. Pure Talk. Wireless by Americans for Americans.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With partly to mostly sunny conditions for today and some increasing clouds late. High temperature readings ranging from the mid-40s in Bozeman to the mid-50s in Billings. For tonight, we'll see chances for snow showers moving into Bozeman and the accumulation an inch or less, with a few rain showers possible in the Billings area. Low near 30 in Bozeman, mid-30s in Billings. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Hey, do you guys remember that movie Carlito's Way? I'm reloaded, except for this one is I'm deported. That's right, Tren de Aragua, you're out of here. President Donald J. Trump deporting these violent Venezuelan prison gang members who were in this country illegally and even the ones arrested here in Montana. You're out of here. Check out that story. Go to MontanaTalks.com. Plus, we had great audio if you check out the on-demand button on our Montana Talks podcast.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Time now for a legislative update brought to you by the Montana Family Foundation. Here's President of the Montana Family Foundation and former Speaker Pro Tem of the Montana House of Representatives, Jeff Laszlofsky.
Yesterday on this broadcast, we talked about the fact that we regularly deal with issues at the legislature that are cutting edge. Ideas over the horizon that are so new that the public at large has no idea they even exist. Case in point, in 2004, the Montana Family Foundation sponsored CI 96, a constitutional amendment stating that marriage is reserved for the union of one man and one woman. It passed with a 67% popular vote, and throughout the course of that effort, the press kept asking us why the amendment was even necessary. According to them, the homosexual community wasn't pushing for a change in the marriage laws. But we knew differently, and because the amendment passed, we were able to avoid much of the legal wrangling that took place in other states over the next 10 years. By 2014, 31 states had marriage protections in law or in their state constitutions. That's nearly enough states to ratify a federal marriage amendment to the U.S. Constitution. On the subject of marriage, Americans were speaking with one voice. Then, on June 26, 2015, by a one-vote margin, the U.S. Supreme Court, in the egregious Obergefell decision, forced same-sex marriage on all 50 states. Just as Roe v. Wade crammed abortion down the throats of Americans, Obergefell created a new so-called form of marriage opposed by the vast majority of U.S. citizens. Now, 21 years after the passage of the Montana Marriage Amendment, a Missoula legislator introduced House Bill 798, a constitutional referendum to remove the marriage amendment from our Constitution. The legislator, not surprisingly, is Zoe Zephyr, a transgender biological male who thinks he's a female and who led a riot on the floor of the House chamber near the end of the 2023 legislative session. He is also one of two legislators who refuses to recite the Pledge of Allegiance at the start of each daily floor session. He's in the legislature for one reason and one reason only. To promote the LGBT agenda. At yesterday's hearing, those in favor of the bill talked almost exclusively about how they should be allowed to love whoever they want to love. The testimony was self-centered and focused on what the adults wanted. Absent from the testimony was a serious discussion on the effect of same-sex marriage on children. That is, until Montana Family Foundation Chief Legal Counsel Derek A. Stryker came to the podium. Throughout his testimony, he reminded the committee that marriage as an institution does not exist simply so that two people who love each other can live together. It exists because it provides the most stable, nurturing, and protected place in which to raise healthy children. He cited study after study that proves the best place to raise children is in an intact home with their biological parents. Can children be raised well in a single-parent home? Absolutely, but the odds are far better if both of their biological parents are present. Statistically, one of the most dangerous settings for girls is in a home with a single mom and her live-in boyfriend. Men and women are wired differently, and kids learn different things from their moms and dads. Neither are irrelevant, both are necessary, and every same-sex marriage with kids, by definition, is missing either a father or a mother. House Bill 798 stands no chance of passing, but it is a wake-up call. The left, emboldened by the passage of the abortion amendment in the last election cycle, may be plowing the ground for a ballot initiative to strike the marriage amendment from Montana's Constitution. In our opinion, for the sake of children, marriage should be reinforced, not redefined. For the Montana Family Foundation, this is Jeff Laszlofsky reminding you that this government is your government, and your input does make a difference.
contact the Montana Family Foundation at 406-628-1141 or on the web at montanafamily.org.
All right, thanks to Jeff Laszloffy for another great update every day during the legislative session at this exact same time. We are airing that update. We appreciate Jeff rolling that out for us here on a daily basis. Let's see. Yeah, I was talking with Superintendent of Public Instruction, Susie Hedlund, who was at the White House yesterday. I've got audio from Education Secretary Linda McMahon. Stephen Miller weighs in on the Department of Education executive order and much more. That'll be coming up later on in the 7 o'clock hour of Montana Talks when we open up the phone lines for you.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
I spent a career explaining to people that the stock market and the economy are two different things, and that the whims of exuberance and panic that wax and wane on Wall Street don't necessarily mean that the economy is doing the same thing, except in early 2025, that is, because this time the contraction in the economy might be just as severe as what major stock indices have been experiencing over the last few weeks. Although we won't get the official word until next month, all the pieces are in place for a sizable negative quarter for GDP, the measure of total economic output. Consumption in particular is nosediving. The University of Michigan's Index of Consumer Sentiment plunged by 11% this month. Spending is flat and credit card companies are dialing back their projections. None of this is definitive. The job growth in particular is still happening. But the whipsaws of policy changes, and particularly the dizzying announcement of tariffs that factor into prices, have created uncertainty that's causing both consumers and businesses to pause. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.